The word of God this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to John at chapter 10, and those first 10 verses of that chapter. Perhaps you've read it before and are familiar with them, but we will endeavor to read them again. And this is what it says in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider that scripture, I'd like us to consider for us what it means following Jesus. What does it mean as we are following Jesus? There was a very popular musician some years ago who was a mere genius at pinning words to paper. And at some point in his life, he must have encountered Jesus. Not that his encounter with Jesus changed his life in a way that made any headlines, but he wrote a song that was cleverly worded to express the choices we have to make and our decision to live our life based on those choices, regardless of who we are or our status. The musician's name was Bob Dylan, and the song he wrote was titled, "Gotta Serve Somebody." The words of his song were captivating and hit at the very heart of the human condition and anyone's relationship to their leader. He's saying, "You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." Now, Bob didn't come right out and say it, but the gist of his song is that a person chooses to follow whichever voice they hear and choose to follow. And maybe he read the 10th chapter of John, and maybe not. But I'm clear of this one thing from both the song and our scripture. There is a clear connection between the relationship between a leader and their followers. And that's especially true if you've heard Jesus's voice and are following him. We are, in our lives, challenged to listen and to hear many voices in our world today. There are voices of personalities, from television and radio and social media, all seeking to draw our attention to them. The voices of our friends also chime in our ears from time to time. They also want us to hear, and in some instances, to follow their direction. There are the voices of politicians locally, regionally, nationally, and globally, all calling out to us, clamoring for our submission, hoping we will join them in whatever is on their political agenda, on in whatever political crusade they may be involved in. And there are some religious personalities. They also are calling as loudly as they can, seeking those who would follow them in their spiritual pursuits. Now, some of those voices are benign and simply reach out to inform us. Some speak to support and encourage us. And then there are those voices of those who have no interest in us at all. Voices whose sole purpose is to mislead and misform and misguide us and hurt us in whatever way they can. There are the voices calling out to us, not for our own best interest, but for their own self-interest, not to build relationship, but to destroy both relationship and life. From our text this morning, we find Jesus having a conversation with some of the leaders of his day. He has apparently been misunderstood yet again and is doing everything in his power to clear things up. And it all began because God had the compassion to heal a man that was born blind from birth through Jesus. Now, that's not a part of our story text this morning, but it is a part of the priest story. It was nothing more than an act of grace. And yet those who heard about it and questioned the man who had received his sight for the first time ever had thrown him out of the temple. And Jesus found the man and then made an innocent statement about his purpose to help the blind see, while causing those who believed they saw everything to become blind to who he was and what he was doing. The conversation became heated, and Jesus then made a historically accurate, though somewhat cryptic, comment about the previous role of religious leaders and their relationship to God's people. The leaders once again found themselves questioning Jesus' authority and relationship to those who were following him. His comment was made to distinguish between those who had been given legitimate authority to lead and how they did their job, and those who merely assumed authority but had failed to live up to their responsibility. It was a classic example of the scripture that God's word is a two-edged sword. And within the way he said it, it was a simple conversation. This is who I am, and this is who you are not. This is the result of people's lives when people listen to me and follow, and this is the tragic outcome of people's lives and what happens in their lives when they listen to you. Those words don't generally set well with your adversaries when someone is reminding them that they are continuing to live out God's criticism of them and God's promise to them at the same time. Jesus was simply driving home as gently as he could the same point God made to them through the words of the prophet Ezekiel when God told them, "Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." And now Jesus has reminded them of their role in the lives of God's sheep and his role in the lives of the sheep as their shepherd. Now Jesus has reminded them of what the sheep could expect when they followed him, yet it runs deeper than that. We sometimes miss the role of the sheep if we simply focus on Jesus's responsibilities. We miss what is required in the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd if we only feel comfortable praising Jesus for a job well done, but miss what it means to be one who is following Jesus. You see, friends, following Jesus comes with some quality perks. Perks that lead directly to that abundant life that Jesus speaks about. But following Jesus also comes with some liabilities. And those should gather our attention since we're all in this sheep pen together. And of course, the critical question is, what can we expect if and when we follow Jesus? And just as importantly, what should Jesus expect from us if we're following Jesus? If we're honest with ourselves, and even if we are truly following Jesus, we find ourselves dealing with some of the basic truths that are so easy to overlook when we think we hear Jesus's voice. You see, friends, brothers and sisters, congregation, whether we like it or not, we're all in this sheep pen together. That's an important point to remember, whether we're following Jesus or not. When Jesus receives authorization to enter the sheep pen, it's easy to miss that point. He doesn't make a distinction between the sheep that are in the sheep pen. He doesn't even claim that all of the sheep are his. He says that he is the shepherd of his sheep, and that as a shepherd, certain of all of the sheep in the sheep pen are his. He says that he calls them by name. His sheep listen to his voice. He leads them going ahead of them, and they follow. They follow. And those that follow him won't listen to any nonsense from any other persons claiming to be the shepherd. He even acknowledges that there have been others claiming to be the shepherd, but that they were self-appointed. But aside from the details about who had authority and who didn't, what their purpose was and what it wasn't, the reality was then and still is that we're all in this sheep pen together. Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep, and specifically those over whom he had been given care of, as well as the other sheep who are not of his fold, and other shepherds who have no influence over his sheep. I wonder if that's why Jesus later told the disciples in just a few verses after this that he had other sheep that were not of his sheep pen, but that he must bring them also, that they too would listen to his voice, and there would be one flock and one shepherd. The circumstances and characters of the sheep pen haven't changed in ages. What remains as a central truth to those who follow Jesus and those who don't is that we're all in the sheep pen together. That, however, raises another truth we have to deal with, one which is inescapable for those who follow Jesus, that there is a defined relationship of care between the gatekeeper, the shepherd, and those sheep who follow Jesus. The sheep aren't left to fend for themselves, and the shepherd has the responsibility of caring for the sheep, of protecting the sheep, of guaranteeing the sheep an opportunity to live free from the dangers that could cause them harm and to find fullness of life beneath the care of their shepherd. I'm sure that's why David wrote the words that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not fear harm because my Lord, my shepherd, is with me. In that kind of caring, overseeing relationship, the sheep are never in any danger from their surroundings. The sheep are provided with everything they need to live and have a fulfilled life. Not even death is a threat because the care of the shepherd is always present. But the other caveat is that the sheep are there because they have followed the shepherd. The sheep are there because the sheep have submitted to the authority of the shepherd as the leader. The sheep are there in this environment of safety and life because they, the sheep, have stayed in their lane and trusted that the shepherd is going to take care of their life. And the shepherd has accepted his role as the protector, defender, provider, and sustainer of the life of the sheep. That's the nature of a caring relationship for those who are following Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep. That's the nature of the relationship Jesus has accepted for the sheep as the shepherd. We're not strangers to him, and he's no stranger to us. It's personal because he knows each one of us by name and calls each one of us by name. We recognize his voice when he calls to us. We know when he's speaking to us and when he's not. And we find comfort in his voice when he calls to us. We find ourselves walking beside those still waters that David spoke so eloquently about. We envision those green pastures filled with everything we need to sustain us, providing food for our bodies and our souls. Even when we find ourselves walking through that valley of the shadow of death, we find that we can experience a peace from God, a peace that passes all understanding. Yes, there may be a night of grief, but joy comes in the morning, and maybe not the next morning, but it will eventually come. And that's only possible because Jesus cares for us. That's only possible because as shepherd of the sheep, he is always with us. But another truth is that we're not immune from danger. The fact of the matter is we're still in the sheep pen where there are those who are there to steal and to kill and to destroy. The problem is that in the world of the sheep pen, there are distractions. There are those who are trying to imitate the real shepherd, but are not there to protect the sheep. In this new age of shepherds and sheep, there are those spreading fake news and alternative facts about what it means to have life and have it abundantly. There are those whose goal in life is to serve no one but themselves, and they don't mind doing it at the expense of the lives of the sheep. And so even though we might hear Jesus's voice, we can become susceptible to the voices of those who try to sound like Jesus, but are calling us for different reasons. Their goal is not to preserve our life, but to save their own. Their goal is not to ensure our safety, but to ensure their own. Their goal is not the building up of the relationship that offers us freedom, but to ensnare us in a relationship of long-term dependency. They become so many parasites, choosing to live off of us rather than freeing us to an abundant life of joy and peace and safety. And we've seen them selling the message of salvation through the prosperity gospel. We've seen them selling the miracle of healing through the snake oil miracle of spring water. We've seen them trying to draw us to them through political loyalty rather than loyalty to Christ. We've seen them point us toward the God of the gun rather than the God who gives life and gives it abundantly, who is the God of all creation. We've seen them try to divide the flock in the sheep pen based on their need to have authority rather than submitting to the authority of Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep. But following Jesus is a protection from the chains of religious legalism and the voices of those with assumed authority. Following Jesus is a guarantee of his eternal care for any and all who hear his voice and choose to follow him. Following Jesus is our insurance policy, that we're not following a false, self-serving God only out for himself, but we follow a shepherd who was willing to lay down his life to save ours and more. Following Jesus is our comfort because Jesus knows us by name. He calls us by name. That means we will always have a personal and intimate relationship with the one who knows us. I can remember when I was going through one of the deepest and darkest times of my life, when I thought, for all practical purposes, my life was over. And I heard the voice of God say, "Run." He knew my name. He called me by name. He allowed me to hear his voice. And he spoke to me. When we hear Jesus's voice, it means that we don't have to wonder if our God understands us or not, because we have a priest who was tempted in every way that we've been tempted. As scripture reminds us, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, while we were still separated from God, Christ, the shepherd of the sheep, gave his life for the sheep. He's been called by voices that meant to do him harm. Jesus has. He's been called by voices that wanted to deceive him. He's been called by voices that wanted to take him away from the true and living God. He's been called by voices that wanted to steal his dignity and self-respect. Jesus has been called by voices that wanted to destroy him. He's been called by all of the same voices that call out to us to do us harm. So he understands what it's like to go through what we go through, and he stood tall and withstood it all. Following Jesus means that we have a responsibility to listen to his voice, to follow wherever he leads, trusting in his power to save us. It means becoming so familiar with his voice that we aren't drawn to the voices of others who seek to provide only destruction to our mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Perhaps there have been other voices calling to you, all of them inviting you to listen to them, to hear them, to follow them. Perhaps you find yourself at times hearing the echoing sounds of other self-appointed leaders throughout the sheep pen, and their voices frightening to hear and even more frightening to consider following. The question is, in this world of constant distractions, whose voice do you hear? And who will you choose to follow? Jesus invites and encourages us to follow him. In my life experience, I've found that following Jesus is not only the safest route, it is the surest route. I invite you to follow Jesus. He will lead us by faith to streams of living water, where our souls will be safe and we will find comfort. And that is the word of God today for the people of God.